The basic pattern of our life is work and rest. But that pattern is not really of suns or of moon or of earth, but of weeks and weekends, which keeps being lost as a pattern as the rich oppress the poor and keep insisting that they work at times to suit the rich rather than take times off for the benefit of the whole community. Humans are treated in many ways not all that different from the battery hens. The more we can get them working, the longer we can have them working for our convenience, the more we can use the artificiality of light so as to be able to keep people working in our factories, in our mines, in our offices all the time. Well, that's a better use of our capital investment and our infrastructure, isn't it? And the community gets lost. This commandment that we have before us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, the commandment about rest and the Sabbath day, is something radical and quite different to the way the world wants to operate, and it really reflects the way in which we need to. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is one of those laws which is really most clearly for God's kindness towards us. Work and rest. There's a difference between the two, though if you ask me to define the difference, it gets very difficult, doesn't it? But we know when we're working, we know when we're resting. There's a complete difference between the two, and there's a need to keep them separate. Don't try and rest at work, don't try and work at rest. Keep the two things separate and keep them in balance. 6 days you work and then 1 day you rest. So the commandment is fairly simple. Do all that you need to in 6 days and then knock off for the seventh day and rest. And yet it's an abidingly difficult commandment for us. For the workaholic lives to work and therefore works 7 days and 7 nights and brags about how many hours he works and takes work home on the weekend. And the bludger, on the other hand, doesn't like working the 6 and tries to get it down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In fact, just get pleasure all the time and never work. And the Pharisee amongst us tries to redefine work and rest so that we can avoid doing what the commandment says. I mean, 3 hours every day I spend doing things like eating meals and relaxing, and 3 times 7 days a week, 21 hours, and so therefore if I just do that every day, I've taken a day off, haven't I? Which is not what the commandment says. You work 6 and you take 1 off. And of course, we Christians have a problem as to which day we want to take off, be it Saturday, be it Sunday, and we also have a westernised now problem as to whether the society as a whole should take the day off, or whether we just allocate different days off to different peoples in the society so as to maximise the resources we have in our society. Notice a few basics about this commandment first. Firstly, it's kind and good of God. We're told, we're commanded to rest and relax and refresh ourselves. Secondly, notice the God who orders this rest himself rests. Thirdly, notice the perversity of human nature is to disobey and to quarrel with the law, especially, and it's perverse because it is easy to demonstrate that regular rest is good for us. Which doctor is not going to tell us that we need to take rest? It's good for our work. We work better if we rest. You keep thinking you're going to do more work by staying an hour or two longer, but the efficiency falls off. Resting is a very important part of working efficiently, and it's good for our society. How else can we build relationships with people if we never allow our time to spend with each other? The only way you can have quality time with your children is to have quantity of time with your children, because the children determine when the quality time's going to turn up, and so if you don't spend enough quantity time with them, you will never find that quality time that is so important. It's also then a simple, fourthly, and broad kind of commandment. Work and rest is not defined. The Sabbath rest, for the word means rest, that's what Sabbath is to be remembered as a day, holy and distinctive, but holy and distinctive for the Lord. That is, you don't have to spend the whole day at the temple, though during the rest day, you must remember the Lord. So there's a reference in Leviticus 23 that we have up ahead of, above me, and I've forgotten to get into my notes, so you're going to have to read it without me, aren't you? Which talks about the holy convocation that you need to have when you are resting with the Lord. There is a sense of gathering with God's people, of remembering God on the rest day. So the rest day doesn't just become the hedonist day, the day when you do not recall God. For everybody, notice, is in the commandment that we have before us. For Exodus chapter 20 tells us, just as the Deuteronomy passage tells us, that it's not just the boss, but the workers. Not just the workers, but even the sojourners. Not just the workers and the sojourners, but even the animals. And in another part of the scriptures, even the land should be given rest. Here, of course, is always the problem for the wealthy to understand. For in our wealth and in our affluence, in our ease, we create the working circumstances where little people, poor people, struggling people do not have the freedom to choose which days they work or don't work. The shops are open now, our 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, but it is the little people, not the shop owners, not the big people, not the stockholders, who have to work on Saturdays and Sundays and at times when the rest of the community is off. It's always the small people, it's the cleaners, it's the strugglers who are put to inconvenience. But the wealthy, well, they can choose to go away for their weekends, they can go up to their farm up the country, they can go and enjoy themselves at Avoca. The bosses are always able to find their own personal time off. And indeed, very conveniently, because everyone else is working, it's much easier to find your personal time off and be served there as well. Whereas the commandment says we've got to be concerned not only for ourselves, but for everybody who is our responsibility, including our workers. And the reasons are given in the scriptures, because all creation's needed, the animals need rest, the land needs rest. Because it's the way of God in creation. God rested worked 6 days and then he himself rested. And also because God has a special purpose for the seventh day. He blessed it and hallowed it. He made it holy. Finally, notice that the Sabbath commandment requires you to have faith in God. You've got to actually believe that God can run the world without you for a whole 24 hours. I know it's difficult. For some of us, that's almost unimaginable that God will be able to manage without us, but he will be able to manage it for our good without our doing anything. To lay down our tools, to live God's way, that I will not be disadvantaged, that I will not lose out. You see it in the really studious student. They have been known to exist around Australia, who insists on working their seventh day because it's the only way to pass their exams. And of course, the answer to that is they're in the wrong course. If you have to work 7 days a week in order to fulfill your job requirements, you're in the wrong job. The job's too hard for you. I got an email through today from a man who said that he couldn't come to a meeting because he's got to prepare 7 days a week. It's the clearest evidence that he's in the wrong job. If he can't manage it in 6 days a week, it's too much for him. He should find an easier job and a different job that he can cope with in 6 days a week. To let go the seventh day, to just stand back and say, okay, well, I've done as much as I can do in the 6 days that's allowed me. I'll have to leave the seventh day in God's hands, is an expression of faith, which is very important to us. However, when you look at the Ten Commandments, this is one of the strangest, if not the strangest. It's strange because It's about our interests, not others, in a sense. It's strange because it's not negative. It's one of the two that doesn't say, thou shalt not. It's strange because it doesn't seem to be about morality or godliness. As Andrew introduced it rightly, the first four commandments are about our relationship with God. The last five commandments are our relationship with one another, but then you've got this Sabbath commandment. Is it about God? Is it about one another? Is it about both? Is it about neither? It's strange because this is the commandment that you're given a reason for. In a few weeks, we're going to say no adultery, no stealing, no murder. But here, remember the Sabbath day because, and then you're given reasons. It's strange because this is the commandment that God himself explicitly obeyed. I'm not saying he doesn't obey the others, but we're even told that God obeyed this one. It's strange because the reasons we're given in Deuteronomy, which Andrew read for us earlier, are different to the reasons we're given in Exodus. That is, the Ten Commandments occur twice in the Old Testament, once in Exodus 20, once in Deuteronomy 5. And they're identical except on this commandment. And on this commandment, in Exodus, you're told the reason for keeping the Sabbath day holy is because God created the world in 6 days, then rested one. In Deuteronomy, you're told the reason to keep the seventh day holy is because you were slaves in Egypt and God has rescued you out of Egypt. How come the Ten Commandments are different? You would have thought the Ten Commandments are identical. This is the one that's strange. It's also strange because this is the one that involves aliens as well. The non-Israelites are called upon to obey this one. Not just the Israelites, but everybody in the land. It's also strange because it seems to be so arbitrary and ceremonial. It's not like the other commandments in that regard. It's also strange because of the severe punishment that seems astonishing to us, which you read about there in Exodus 31, that those who do not keep the Sabbath should be put to death. This is a capital offence. We don't make adultery a capital offence. We don't make stealing a capital offence, but keeping the Sabbath, breaking the Sabbath? It's strange because the law is symbolic. That's what's said there for us in Exodus 31 that Andrew read for us. That this law that is given to us here, this observing is a covenant. It's a sign of the covenant that the people of Israel have with God. Well, it's a passage, it's a commandment that has Christians in confusion. There are lots of confusions and disagreements we have over things like the millennium, whether we're premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, or don't understand the meaning of the word at all, about the Lord's Supper or about baptism. But if you want to divide Christians, start talking about the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. There are some formal differences, like the Seventh-day Adventists and the Seventh-day Baptists. There's the Lord's Day Presbyterians. There are those who ignore this commandment altogether and really only operate on 9 commandments. There are those who want to see this commandment is fulfilled in Christ, so every day is the Sabbath. There is disagreement, and the disagreement is as old as the New Testament. Because back in Romans 14 and in Colossians 2, there's discussions about freedom and judgment on the subject of Sabbaths. And therefore, we may disagree here even on the 10 commandments, but I want to urge you to observe the commandments and this commandment as you would any other commandment, and to be fully convinced in your own mind and do what God says. So what does the law mean? Comes to the point 3 on the outlining then, the law's meaning. On one level, it is as simple as I said. Work 6 days, rest one. And yet we have so many issues and difficulties. You can see the benefits of resting and of working, but why did God give the commandment as he does? Let's look at those two reasons. It's because of creation in Exodus, and it's because of redemption in Deuteronomy. Are they two reasons or are they the same? Let me start with the creation one. See, why did God create? He created all for his glory. He created all for his Son. And in Genesis, we're told, he's created it all for the Sabbath. For it sees this day as the good day, as the ultimate good day. The creation was heading towards the Sabbath. That is, the end of the Sabbath never comes. There is no eighth day in creation. There is still the Sabbath day that we are in now. It's what the passage in Hebrews 4 is about, which I've printed there for you, which we won't read, that we are still in the Sabbath day. God created everything for the seventh day. That is, creation is not a weekly event. On the eighth day, God started again, put another 6 days of creation in, and then on the 14th day had another rest, and then on the 15th day started again more creation. He has finished the work of creation in 6 days. And he is now resting as he has been ever since, on the seventh day. And God created the world for this Sabbath day. He created the world in order to rest, in order to share with the world in his glory. And so what of you and me? Well, if we're creatures, we've been created for the rest day. God hasn't made us in order to keep making us. He has made us in order that we might rest with him, that we might holiday with him. We are working creatures, but we work for the rest day. I mean, if the world is all a big accident, a big bang, you might find in your work your reason for existence. But if the world has been created in order to rest with God, then you won't find your meaning for existence in your work, you'll find it in your resting. It's back to the workaholic's problem. The workaholic lives to work instead of working to live. The rest day is about living. We work in order to rest. The rest is the important part of what we're doing. What of the day of Deuteronomy and redemption? The freeing of slaves. At first glance, it seems that it's got nothing to do with us, that we weren't slaves in Egypt, but come back into the history of it. Why did God rescue the slaves of Egypt? In order to take them to the promised land. The land that is known as the land of rest. It's a land of milk and honey. It's a land where they rest from their labours. So in Deuteronomy chapter 12 it's described, but when you go over the Jordan and live in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you are in safety, then it goes on. See, the land of rest and the land of the inheritance, the promised land, is the same thing. That's why in Psalm 95, God promised them, they will never enter my rest because of their wickedness. What God did in creation was to make us to share in his rest. What God did in rescuing the children of Israel was to make them share in his rest. That's what the whole purpose of it was. The redeemed people would be able to live for God at rest forever. That is why every week they had to take a day off. Because every week they remind themselves where they're heading for. It's not arbitrary. It's very purposeful. It's not an arbitrary symbol, though it is a symbol. It's a symbol of what we're living for. We're living not to work, but to rest. When you work 7 days out of seven, you deny who you are as creatures and you deny who you are as the redeemed people of God. Because you're saying, I am living for this world alone. But every time I down tools, I say there's something more to life than this world. I am living for that which yet lies ahead of me, the Sabbath of the Lord. And therefore, the Sabbath is not to be spent just in hedonistic self-serving, just spend the whole day water skiing or whatever is your want, bungee jumping. There's nothing wrong with doing those things, but on your Sabbath day, you need to remember the Lord. For you're having a small touch, a small taste of heaven now. And so remember the Lord in the Sabbath day. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. So what difference does it make being a Christian rather than an Israelite? Well, a Christian Sabbath shows the relationship between the Old and New Testament. And the key is found in Psalm 95, if you want to find it, which is quoted for us in Hebrews 3 and 4 in particular. And it explains that Palestine was not the land of rest. Palestine is a symbol of rest. The real rest is heaven. It's relationship with God. It's what Jesus brings us when he brings the kingdom of God and peace with our Father, brings us into relationship with God as our Father. The rest that they were to come to, land flowing with milk and honey, cities that they didn't build, houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they hadn't planted, doing away with all their enemies so they could rest in God's company forever in the promised land, that is just a figure of the real rest that is ours in Christ Jesus. For from the beginning of creation, God has ceased from his work and invited his creatures to come and rest with him. And so it's a visual aid of heaven. But now, today, any day, this day, now is the time to enter into God's rest by the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for us. That's why some Christians, every Sunday, see it as the day for rest. For the day that they want to remember is the new day, the new kingdom, the time when Jesus rose from the dead. That's why other Christians want to rest every seventh day, calling it a Saturday, and have that day off because they want to remember creation. It really doesn't matter which day of the week. Any day is as good as any other day. It's got to do with doing it with others in the name of God in our community, but it's got to do with doing it. It's got to do with having the time off. We mustn't think God favours this day or that day or this religious observance or that religious observance. But because we have entered God's rest through the blood of the Lamb, because we are living for heaven, not for this world, therefore we should take a day off to keep reminding ourselves regularly and not get ourselves overwhelmed with the worries and the cares and the anxieties and the pressures of life in this world. For they do consume us. Be it being consumed by pleasures or being consumed by the anxieties of work and money, they consume us. But when we consistently take a day off, we remember there's more to life than what's happening now. We think of eternity. But we also need to do it because we're creatures and our bodies don't function 7 days a week. They need rest. So I commend to you the law's observance. God in his kindness has told you to take time off. It's the nature of your creation. It's the rightness of resting. It's important to keep a distinction between the two, which means different things for different people, doesn't it? The swimming coach is going to be resting in a different way than the person who teaches English literature. The swimming coach, he can read a book. The teacher can go swimming. Different work, different rest, but it means you'll keep it different from the rest of your week. It's the balance of life that you need to keep perspective. But in particular, I'd commend the gospel fulfillment to you. For without Christ, you can never actually enter into God's rest. Without Christ, heaven and the Sabbath rest won't matter to you. So enter in by him into fellowship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your kindness to us, that you not only work and rest, but command us to work and rest. Not only giving us the example of it, but calling us into your rest. We thank you for that, and we thank you that we can see it in the way you treated Israel. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to get this balance into our lives, that we might not only live as creatures with rest and work, but we might live as creatures looking forward to the heavenly rest, and so keep perspective on the trivialities and the pressures of this world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.